It's time for a new episode of Bid Nerds, your daily nerd out on the most interesting car of the day from all the automotive enthusiasts auction sites. My name is JP. Welcome to the program along with my partner, Michael Deeb in San Francisco. What's going on, Michael Deeb?
What's up, JP? Getting excited for Luftgekult?
I am. I've got my producer, Patootie, working hard here today. She's got her Bid Nerds bow on and she's
I can see
the studio.
That.
She's like, don't you think you're coming in here? We're doing a show. We're live. We're on air. We're recording.
Yeah, we're recording.
Yeah. Yeah, I am excited about Luftgekult. We're getting closer to kind of shoring up all the plans and figuring out who's coming from Vegas.
Did you pick a car? Because both your cars got accepted. Now you have to actually pick one. Are you taking the back date, or are you gonna
buckle? Yeah, that you was are? The one yeah. that I planned, and I would rather bring the convertible, but now here's the thing. It's did you see what's up? So for those of you who don't know, Luftgekult is like the biggest Porsche mecca event of the year. It moves around the country, some even the world. Like they had one in Germany once. Or was it London? I don't know. Can't remember.
London. So, yeah. Indianapolis and London.
Yeah. So here it is. It's going to be in San Francisco for the first time. Your neck of the woods. Michael Deeb is hosting a bunch of events. It's a 2-day event. One of the other big differences. Usually it's only one day. And the second day they're adding water pumpers. And it looks to me like they may be having some trouble getting that show filled because I had registered my car for Saturday for the show, but I didn't register it for Sunday because I figured we'd get on the road. I didn't want to be committed to being there all day. But then they sent out a thing, you know, but I did buy just admission passes just to get in, right?
Yeah.
They sent out an email to everyone who had an admission pass that said, hey, if you also have a Porsche, air or water, you can have it in the show on Sunday. At no additional charge. So I was like, all right, cool. Well, that gives me a parking spot so I don't have to worry about it. And the show's over by one, so that's fine. So my car is registered for both days now.
Because I don't have a long commute home on Sunday. So I, when I got accepted, they send you the thing like, you know, you have to pay or whatever. I don't know. So I registered my car for Sunday and paid for the display on Sunday as well. So I got an email and they refunded that $50 back to me, which I thought was really interesting. So yeah, it definitely feels like the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing over at Luftgekult. This rollout for this event, while we understand that they try to keep a lot of the details secret, the emails have been confusing to say the least. Yeah. And then when they go and like charge you money and then a week later go, that's all right, we're going to just do it for free. Here's your money back. I'm like, well, doesn't sit like I don't want to go to a show that's that poorly produced. You know what I mean? Like it just sounds silly. What's amazing, John. And the only reason this is interesting, because this is what we try to bring to the show, is stuff that's interesting, is you and I had a blast going to Luftgekult 6. Which was at Universal Studios back lot. And you and I will talk about it going down as one of the greatest car shows of all time because it was just so epic. It was such a perfect backdrop. And some of the way the cars were displayed and the idea that it was like kept a secret and that we were doing it there, it was just this coup that was just fantastic. And as we were leaving and like basking in the afterglow of going to the show and seeing all these cool people and all these cool cars in such a cool place, how do they top that? Well, they haven't been able to do it yet. Every show since has been like, what? Like, this is really put on by the same guys that had that epic show, because this feels like, you know, a bunch of monkeys trying to screw a football, you know, like it's just really weird.
I mean, you got to look, you know, obviously history happened. You know, that show Luft 6 was in 2019 and then obviously things got messed up. I think there was that show that was supposed to be in North Carolina. There were cross country rallies.
We were going to have a blast.
Shaping up to be like the most epic experience ever. And of course history happened and everything got screwed up, for 2020. Then they tried to come back in 2021 by doing that kind of show kind of as an afterthought in Indianapolis, which was a nice show, but it was just a nice car show. It wasn't really Luft.
It feels like, yeah, it feels like Porsche really pulled the strings on that one.
Yeah, because they wanted something to go along with their sports car together thing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then Luft 8 wasn't in the spring like it usually is. They had it in fall like Luft 7 was in India. So it was just all felt weird.
Well,
and it was a venue that they'd done before.
Right. And that was super. And so you're thinking, oh, well, if they're going to do it at the exact same place, then how are they going to turn up the wick? And I don't think they did at all. I think it was right on par with when they did it at 4 or 5 or whenever they were there. They were there at 4. Luft 4 was there.
In their defense, they did do the first two in the same place, you know, Deos or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's not totally unprecedented for them to do it in the same place. But two was
those events didn't.
One. Yeah.
Yeah, but those two events didn't sell out either. They were just, you know, their little thing.
Yeah. So here it is. This event's going to be really big. It looks like they got a huge venue so they can include more people because they're tired of people like me, bitching about not being accepted. We have Patrick Long on Dirt or Die. Check out one of our other channels, the Dirt or Die Porsche podcast channel. Patrick Long actually came on the show and listened to our BS gripes, and he was a really good sport about it.
And I'm just paraphrasing, John, but you said to him, look, we didn't want you to take everybody. We just wanted you to take us.
Yeah, just that was it. Just a couple more, which is us. And everybody
else. You didn't have to whore yourself out like that.
Yeah, so I don't know, whatever. You know, we run here in Las Vegas, we do the Vegas Auto Fest every year. You know, and that show, we've had, there's been numerous times where people have talked about, you know, should we do a two-day event? Should we do something on Friday? Should we do something on Sunday and stuff like that? And anytime you try to do extra stuff, you wind up diluting the main event. And you spread yourself too thin. So we're just like, no, don't do that. And the Las Vegas Concours, which is just an absolute embarrassment of a car show in Las Vegas, do not get duped into coming to the Las Vegas Concours. Come to Vegas Auto Fest. That's the real enthusiast car show. Thousands of people show up to this amazing venue out on the Red Rock.
Red Rock's such a beautiful backdrop for that. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
The Las Vegas Concours can never kind of figure out what venue they're going to do. And it's always like just the people that brought their car. It's just stupid. Right. But they always try to do all these other things. And it's just embarrassing because you go to any of their stuff and it's like there's 8 people. It's just like, guys, what are you doing? That's worse than the subscriber count to Bid Nerds. I mean, all right. Here it is. We're excited about Luft Cult. We're excited about going this year. I hope the second day event works. I doubt that they'll ever do a second day again. Unless it just winds up going off the hook. But who knows? We're going to go to both, see what they're both like. I'm sure both days are going to be fun, and they're going to be unique experiences, and I look forward to it and everything.
Yeah, we'll report back to you guys, but you guys should come out for the show. It'll be really fun. And let us know if you are, because we'd love to have you drive with us on Friday.
All right, let's get to the darn car. We're talking about a car on P-Car Market, our favorite platform. If you've ever watched this show, you know how much we dislike the practices of P-Car Market. But P-Car Market has been bringing some big numbers on some cars. They've been getting some really surprising results. Today's car will be an interesting one to watch because I feel like the results that they've gotten on some cars have been really blue chip cars. This car is not. This is a neat car, but certainly not a blue chip car. Michael D, tell us what the most interesting car is.
P-Car Market has for our enjoyment this 2002 Porsche 996 Carrera Coupe. What makes this car cool is it has the factory aero kit. Which is really nice. Being a 2002, it's also what we would refer to internally as a .2. So it's got the slightly more powerful motor with about 320 horsepower. It is a 6-speed manual, and it is showing just 46,000 original miles offered for sale or for auction out of Longwood, Florida. Longwood, God, how is that not a porn name? That is fantastic. I can't believe I didn't think of that first. JP, you had a cool car very similar to this. But correct me if I'm wrong, yours was an earlier car. It was a .1. It was the dark gray color. And you actually had, I mean, rather than just like an aero kit, your car was like a real GT3 replica right down to the wheels. And if I remember correctly, JP, didn't your speedometer or tachometer actually say GT3 on it? Like your car really would have fooled some people the way it was set up.
Well, I mean, not to go away from this car, but just real quick. No, mine was a .2, and it was the same color. It was the steel gray. So mine was steel gray. This one was
steel gray.
Arctic. Yeah, but no, mine was a .2, 3.6.
Oh, you, Oh, okay, got it.
Yeah, and it had all the GT3 trim. This is just has the wing and the aero kit from what I can see.
Right, right. Yeah, it has standard seats. It's, in fact, it's the, what do they call that, luxury tufted leather, supple leather,
supple
Porsche calls
leather.
It.
Ugh. Supple ball sack leather.
Yeah. Ballsack. Anyway, anyways, advanced Technic package, 6-disc changer, Bi-Xenon headlights, and I don't know, whatever, not much to it. The IMS was done, and the receipt for the work is done there. I will commend Golf Clap to P-Car Market for stating that the IMS was done in the first paragraph instead of waiting for making people who are interested going and looking through all the comments to see if anybody had asked the seller yet, because P-Car Market tends to, like, duck and hide when it comes to IMS bearings on cars that require them. This one was done. It was done in 2021, so it's recent, and by all accounts, you know, should be in really good condition. Interesting to note, JP, somebody asked the seller to confirm that the clutch was done at the same time as the IMS, and the seller says that he has no way to confirm that. It's not written in the receipt, so he will not say that it's got a new clutch. That's kind of uncommon, is it not, that you would change the IMS and not just do the clutch while you're in there? Is that fair to say?
Well, I mean, it's usually the other way around. What usually happens is it's time for a clutch, and since you're in there, you go ahead and change the IMS bearing because,
yeah,
it's, you know, it's just an additional $500 part at that point.
Yeah.
It's the same job. Transmission's got to come out, all that stuff, you know, the shaft bearing, all that stuff. So, yeah, do it when you do the
clutch.
Yeah, I don't know why, but at 40-something thousand miles, it does seem like
you're
going through that much work. It costs you about the same amount. It would cost you an extra, you know, $1,500 or whatever to go ahead and slap the clutch in, because now the thing's going to have to come apart in another, couple, you know, 10, 15,000 miles anyway. So,
which is why they were asking.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that was interesting. They couldn't confirm that the clutch was done. It's, the receipt doesn't have it on there. The other thing I thought was really funny is the guys at P-Car Market would tell you that they're...
Hold on a second. And I'm sorry to cut you off there.
No, go ahead.
It's such a weird response. I can't confirm because the receipt doesn't say that it did. That sounds so P-Car Market because, well,
yeah.
Are you implying that maybe it was? There's no expectation that it would or wouldn't have been. How much was the job? You know, what is the,
yeah,
if you've got a receipt, if it's a $2,000 job, okay, you know, they didn't. If it's a $3,500 job, okay, well, why is it $1,500 more? Because it has a clutch. I mean, you can't confirm. And what are we doing here? What kind of games are we playing? This is so P-Car Market. Golly. I'm going to pause. Yeah, I don't know what kind of games good old P-Car Market is playing, but it's typical for P-Car Market to have these weird things. I'm sorry. Continue talking about the car. It's a nice looking car, though.
Yeah. So then the other thing that I thought was really interesting is the P-Car Market guys would tell you that they're hardcore Porsche guys, and they kept calling these 18-inch light alloy Carrera wheels. They're MYO2s, and I feel like anybody knows that. That's what that model of wheel is. And it just cracks me up that they didn't, like, P-Car Market edited this thing and published it and didn't tell you. So even if the seller doesn't know, you would think the guys at P-Car Market would know those are MYO2s, and they just write it in there. BAT would do that.
Yeah.
But they did not list these as MYO2s. Those wheels with the aero kit on this car make the car look fantastic. The car has kind of a finished look. I think the car maybe should be a little lower. That'd be really cool. I know that's what you would do to the car. But the car is a looker. It's got low miles. It's got an IMS bearing. I think it should do really well. Don't you, John? Don't you think this car should do really well?
Yeah, I mean, but it's... Yeah, it's a cool car. I like it.
Yeah.
This is definitely,
yeah,
a cool looking 996. This is kind of the way you want to do it. The MYO2 is a great wheel. It's a very lightweight wheel. But, you know, honestly, with the aero kit, go get a set of GT3 wheels if you can find them. That would really,
yeah,
look good.
Yeah, they're,
you know,
more expensive, but
they,
yeah,
they are a lot more expensive. It's true. You can find,
yeah,
MYO2 wheels pretty inexpensively. I don't know. I'm just really, really bearish on the M96 engine. It's such a piece of glass. They are prone to failure in so many ways, even when the IMS bearing has been replaced. I don't know. I'll say it right here. I don't know if I'll ever own another 996 again. I have been so lucky. I have owned so many. But you just see over and over and over again M96 engines failing. There was one, they had a PCA DE day, you know, driver education day up at Spring Mountain a couple of weeks ago. It wasn't a 996, it was actually a Cayman, but same engine, same powertrain. And, you know, it blew an engine on the track. I mean, it's just like every time you go to an event, an M96 engine gives up. You know, it's like it's just not that uncommon. Our good friend Buddha, friends of the show, he had his M96 IMS bearing upgraded and it failed. So he's on his second one. And, you know, knock on wood, this is going to be the good one. His car's going to last forever. But it's just terrifying. I can't do it. I love the 996.2. I think it's such a great driving car when they work, but when they just fail so big that it's just not worth the heartache.
Interesting. So, JP, our car closes tomorrow on P Car Market, and it is currently sitting at, try not to laugh or spit into your microphone, $996 on just one bid, and it closes in less than 24 hours. How crazy is that? I think this is a $30,000 car, but there is something weird going on here. You know what I mean? So I'm just going to not – I don't know. I mean, I just don't want to bet against the platform every single time we bid. This should be a $30,000 car since the IMS has been addressed and it's got the aero kit. It's low miles and it looks good. I think that this car should be worth that much, even on this platform. So I'm going to say $30,000, even though there isn't a shred of evidence to suggest that we're going to get anywhere near that number. It's looking like it's going to peter out at 20 grand and wind up in the deal tank for 40. But I'm going to give you 30 grand because I just think that's what the car is worth. And I'm going to just sort of push the platform and its inability to even give this consigner any sleepless nights this week. You know what I mean? Like, unbelievable. So, what do you think
is
going on?
That is weird. One sub $1,000 bid with less than 24 hours to go. It's in Florida. We love our Florida friends, but we don't particularly like cars from Florida. That's always an issue. But it looks like this car was in Alaska or something before.
But there's Cosmoline is still underneath the car. When you were running through the pictures, you can see all the Cosmoline is still under the car. I think this car, I think this car should hold up. I don't know.
It's had the right maintenance. It doesn't, I mean, is there an accident on the Carfax? Did we check
that? There isn't. They did mention that they repainted one of the rear panels. That's the only thing is they mentioned they did some little bit of paint work, but anything that was accident related.
Wow, that is a head scratcher. What do you guys think out there? This is where we go out to the Nerd Nation. What are we missing on this listing that we're less than 24 hours away and it hasn't even reached $1,000? This should be a 30-something $1,000 car. Your bid was 30, Deeb?
Yeah, I'm just giving it to you at 30 grand.
Yeah, geez, 27 grand?
27? All right, $27,000.
Less than 50,000 miles. This is a really cool car. This would be a lot of fun. Yes, I'm scared of all the M96 stuff, but, I mean, at under $30,000, it's almost like, well, all right. I mean, if it blows up, it blows up. Life goes on. This is going to be such a great driver, and you can't get a real GT3 996 for, they're, you know, well over $100,000. If this were a 996 GT3 with 46,000 miles on it, this would be, $120,000 car?
At least 100 grand, so it'd be three to four times the number. It's bonkers.
All right, well, let's see what's going on. Let's go ahead and go into the future and find out what happens with this 996. What is happening, guys? Hey guys, I gotta tell you about our friends Godin Porsche of Las Vegas and Godin Classic. If you're looking for a new Porsche or a classic, you gotta call our friend Steve at Godin. This guy,
1989 linen gray metallic G50 cab.
Is that going to be for sale?
It is going to be for sale. The car only has 65,000 miles.
Save yourself the hassle of screwing around with all the auctions like we always talk about and just talk to Steve. He'll find you the classic Porsche you're looking for, Godin Porsche of Las Vegas.
If you love watching car videos on YouTube, you got to check out my channel, The Rami Show.
Oh, the this car. I am driving.
Oh, that car. Michael Deeb, are you excited about the latest episode of The Rami Show?
I got to tell you, so you you sent it to me, and I know it hasn't dropped yet, although by the time this airs, it's probably been dropped. But Chef William recently bought a car, and Rami gets to drive it in the episode, and Rami's got a similar car, and you guys go out in the desert. And when I watched that video, I have such incredible FOMO because I remember me, you, and Mikey going out in the morning and shooting all the cars from Gotten Classic at Red Rock. And then we do the Breakfast Club stuff and we take the drives. So whenever I see you guys shooting out in the desert, I'm like, why do I live in this godforsaken city? But the video is fantastic. Rami's having a blast. Chef smiling. Mental was there. Lee Pettit, Patet was there. It looks like you guys had a great time blasting across the desert in these two cool Porsches. Congratulations to Chef on his new car. The latest episode of The Rami Show is probably one of my favorites so far. That was a great, great, great show.
Thanks for the plug there. That's a nice compliment from Michael Deeb, who... you know, your car would look good next to those cars. You've got that wide body.
I was thinking that, but, you know, mine is just normally aspirated. I don't think I'd be cool enough to join those kids, although I would I would try my hardest to keep up.
Yeah, find a corner.
Yeah.
So check out The Rami Show, guys, if you haven't already. And actually do yourself a favor and have even more fun. Go over to the Dirt or Die Porsche podcast. I know a lot of you guys have. And there's actually an episode up about... where Chef talks about getting that car. That's our Porsche podcast on BAT. He won an auction.
Yeah.
So he talks about the car and getting it and winning it, but he didn't actually receive it yet in that podcast. And then on the Rami Show, you get to actually see the car in action and you see the
picture. Does Chef just sit back in the studio with like a rocks glass with some whiskey and a nice big ice cube in there and say, yeah, I kind of nailed it on this car. I learned everything about my auction prowess from watching the Bidnerds. Does he get into
that? He does. Chef pretty much just shows up, brings food, and then sits in some kind of like carb coma or something like that. We're not – half the time we're not sure if he's awake. He's always on a lot of painkillers. He's got a bad back. So, combine that with some chicken wings and some liquor, some good scotch, and that's about that. I think we finished off this bottle on the last episode.
Yeah. So. I love that Chef shows up to half the things still wearing his chef coat. Like did you leave the risotto on? Like, what are you doing here? Who's watching the stove? You know what I mean? Like, you always think like he's on borrowed time and he's got to run back and pull something out of the oven. He's always wearing his chef coat. I love that about him.
That's the most chef thing about him. I don't think he actually cooks anything anymore. I think he just like wears the jacket around. All right. Well, you guys, thanks for sticking around. You guys are, I'm sure, patiently waiting for the results on this 996 over on our favorite platform. Check out our episode about P-Car Market from a few days ago. That's a fun one. All right, Michael Deeb, let's get to the results of this 996. What happened?
Deal tank. Spoiler alert. All right. So our 2002 Porsche 996 with just 40-something thousand miles and the aero kit. IMS bearing was done. It looks great on those MY02s. John, we both like the car, although neither one of us would probably sincerely buy another kind of fragile 996 normally aspirated motor. But we were sort of betting against the platform. So I said 30 grand and said that I thought for sure it'd wind up at the deal tank. You took the under at $27,000 and agreed with me that you thought this car would wind up in the deal tank. We were both right and we were both wrong. The car was actually bid up to $36,000, where it failed to sell on 19 bids and remains, as we're doing this show a handful of days later, in the deal tank for $45,000. So my question to you, John, isn't about the result, because I don't think you or I or anybody that watches this show with any regularity would be surprised by the result of this car on this platform. My question to you is really regarding the values of 996s. At $36,000, do you think that's what this car is worth? Or do you say, because it's got relatively low miles at 46,000, it has an IMS bearing and a receipt for it being done in 2021, and the fact that it's a manual car with an aero kit, that car is worth, say, $40,000 or more? My question to you, John, is at 36 grand, should he have taken the money and ran? Because it, like I said, it's still sitting in the deal tank and he hasn't gotten a bid. He hasn't gotten an offer over his 36 grand. Was that all the money is my question to you.
My answer is yes. The guy should absolutely have taken the money and run. I don't think he gets any more money for this car on BAT. I'm shocked it went up to 36, if I'm honest. The aero kit, if it were factory installed, okay, you can make an argument that this car could be worth more, but it wasn't. This is something that was put on later. It's got the ball sack leather. And I just think 996s, unlike air cooled Porsches are still strong. We talk about this almost every episode. It sounds like a broken record, but right. You know, the non weird stuff, the factory cars or the stuff that has a cool name, those cars or something, you know, stuff with really good build and engine builds. Those cars are still commanding some pretty big premiums. But everything else, water pumper Porsches are definitely feeling it. Our good friend, Jason Alter, who owns both a 964 and a 991.1 GTS. So he has two fantastic cars. Unfortunately, his 964 has been in the shop for a year. Whole other story.
Hurry up!
But, you know, he's kind of bummed because he drives that GTS 991. He loves the car. But because his 964 has been in the shop for so long, he's wound up putting way more miles on the GTS, whereas he would have been putting all those miles on the 964. You know, putting miles on an air-cooled 911 just doesn't seem to matter from a value point of view, especially 964. So now he's stacking miles on his GTS, and,
it's a depreciating asset.
Big time. You know, there was one on BAT, a black one, just like his. His is black on black, center locks, the whole nine yards, you know, and it had fewer miles, and it failed to sell at 85 on Saturday. Now, that was a Saturday result, and Saturday results may vary, so, you know, be careful. But I think that is telling that the air-cooled market is still doing something, because there's kind of intrinsic collector value in those cars. But everything else that's a regular car, if your car can fit cleanly in an NADA book, if your car is something that CarMax would buy, your car is a car that probably is going to be seeing some severe depreciation, or is really going to get hurt by inflation. So something to think about.
It's a really good point, John. I look for weird cars all the time, like on Auto Trader, and I save those cars. And as we rolled into April just a couple of weeks ago, several of the cars that I've been watching, I got emails that there were price reductions on, like, I kid you not, John, like 8 or 9 cars, and I'm watching, let's say, 18 cars. So like almost half the cars I'm watching got a price reduction at the beginning of the month, which means the dealerships, or even the people who are selling them private party are like, I got to lower the price, or this car's not going anywhere. I'm not getting any, like, I'm hearing crickets. So it's happening. We're in it right now. And I didn't think this car was worth over 40. So at 36, I was like kind of scratching my head going, why didn't he take the 36? And so I wanted to hear your take on that. And I really appreciate your take, because I agree with you on that whole thing. Not taking the money is not going to age well for him, because it's not going to sell in the deal tank.
This is a $26,000 car, not a $36,000 car. It's just not. I mean, even with inflation the way it is, the 996s are just so sketchy. Yes, we've seen appreciation on them. Yes, but, you know, it's more inflation rather than appreciation. So buy a 996 at your peril. I mean, I love them, still love them, would still kind of love to have this car, but, you know, it only if you can afford to lose the money, because that thing could blow up at any moment and might just do that. Having to deal with the P-car market thing, you know, you got to wonder how aggressive the phone calls were, because, you know, P-car market may be sketchy. They may pull some fast ones. Check into P-car market if you're going to do business with those guys. But one thing that we know about them, I mean, let's face it, they're not stupid. They know how much this car is worth, so they let the guy set a unrealistically high, call it a reserve. And you know, when it got to 36, they're probably hitting him up, going, "Dude, sell it."
Yeah,
you know, like the guy, you know, it's just it's crazy that the person didn't actually listen to himself. But anyways,
remember Eddie Murphy in Trading Places? Sell, Mortimer, sell! You know?
Yeah, only you don't get a topless Jamie Lee Curtis as a concession on this fail to sell. All right, what do you guys think of the results of this 996 failure to sell? Will it make $45,000 in the Deal Tank product? It's a product. We saw yeah. We saw the P-Car Markets guys describe the Deal Tank as a product. It's a product.
Do you
remember? Yeah. It's so boomer. Do you remember? Yeah. You're old enough. I mean, I make fun of boomers, but I'm boomer adjacent, right? Do you remember 20 years ago when there was that guy on TV, when there were still TV commercials? He would come on late night, and he'd and all the fringe TV. He would sell that, like, how to use the internet, you know? And it was a CD. No. You know, the CD-ROMs, like, buy my product. He was clearly talking to boomers and old people, you know,
had no idea
how to get online. Funny. And it was like a whole bunch of DVDs. Anytime someone calls a digital feature a product.
A product, yeah.
Bro.
Yeah.
Just so cringe over there. Jesus.
Get those words!